Gracious Heavenly Father, tonight we come before you, Lord. Look into your grace, Father. This is troubled time now we live in, Lord. Over the world, there's war. There's killing. There's a lot of crime committed on the human race, Lord, because of hatred, because of various opinions. And the presumptions, O Lord, of men and women everywhere. It seems that love seems to be out of reach for the human race, or in the life of mankind. In our fellowship tonight here, Lord, we are also at war. I pray, Lord, it is not a war among ourselves, but a war against their very adversary, Satan, O Lord. If each and every one of us, brother, can recognize that we are not fighting one another, we know what James says, that we war even among ourselves. We war because of pride in us. We war because we have all this carnal feeling. We know what happened in the Garden of Eden, Lord, when sin entered. And the next thing, O Lord, is the pride of life that took place in the life of Cain. And after that, he went out killing. And all this evil, O Father, that is upon this earth today, they all trace back to what happened in the garden. But Lord, where are the people of God? And yet among us, O Lord, there are many carnality in our life. Many of us in this fellowship, O Lord, so far, O Lord, to learn to understand. We can talk about love, but our heart sometimes just seems to be messed up. We don't treat a brother or a sister as a member of the body of Christ. We treat him or her like some strangers, someone of another race, someone of another faith. And you know, Father, for years I've been trying to get people to see what joy actually means. Three simple letters that spell out the word joy. To let them know that Jesus must be first in their life. And then come next, all the others round about us. And lastly, ourselves. But Lord, it seems that they can talk about putting Christ first in their life. But when it comes to O and Y, it seems the Y took place secondary and put the other last. If we love ourselves more than the others, then Father, you have sent your only begotten Son for a purpose that never could be fulfilled, it seems. Because, Lord, you place yourself last. You came, as you said to the disciple, I came not to be served, but to serve. And if we can love others, then, Lord, if we put the why last in joy, then, Father, then truly we can find true joys in our life. We commit tonight to you. We know there's going to be a lot of pain. But we ask for your grace, O Lord, to guide us through. We know it's going to be a hard journey. And your word says, and if not that it comes direct from the scripture, Lord, but truly what your prophet has said, that today, now, this hour, in the church, in the believer's life, it is testing time by sin. We need to examine ourselves, O Lord. And if we ever think that we are better than anybody else, we are mistaken. If we think that we are perfect, we are mistaken. Because in the church, it is never a perfect church. But we are going on unto perfection. We need to overlook and not one another's fault. And you have graced our life, Father. The event that took taken place the last 5 weeks in this message, O Lord, that we are preaching it tonight for the last time. Your love, your grace, your mercy. If you can see what you have done for us, let us do it unto others. We ask, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, maybe just sing. Let us sing a song, sorry.
Jesus, just a mention of your name.
For this series of message on love, grace, and mercy. Let us continue where we left off. Just as you know about the law, covenant, and grace covenant, we already see that without faith, it is impossible to please God, and faith without work, without your manifestation, it is dead. Turn to the book of Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2. And verse 11 to 14. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation have appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. They're speaking to Titus, who was a young worker with Paul. Many people might despise his youth because he's young. Maybe he doesn't know anything. But this letter was written to Titus, and being circulated around, I think for us today, it is an exhortation and admonition to our own Christian life, how we should examine ourselves. Now let's go to the next verse in Ephesians chapter 2. I think the words are clear to what it is self-explanatory. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 5 to 9. Even when we were dead in sin, have quickened us together with Christ, by grace are you saved. And have raised us up together and make us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness to us work through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. I think this verse of scripture here should make us to realize we are saved by grace through faith. And all because of the exceeding riches of His grace to us all. Very self-explanatory. In every way, in many of Paul's epistles, he talks a lot about grace. And I wonder how many of you really take heed to this simple five-letter words. Word. Grace. Mercy. Without it, you won't be here and I won't be here today. But the journey is not over. The devil will try to tear this church apart. I'm not blind to it. I have seen and observed and see what your life is. And it's very hard sometimes to tell you the truth, even from the pulpit, to preach it, to tell you, to be able to look at it and examine about your own life. But it's very hard for us to do it. If I come to you personally and tell you, would you listen to what I'm going to say to you? But I think you might find it hard. You will deny it. Because you have your opinion. You have your idea. Because we are living in the world of stress. Yes. But God has given us the peace. Give us the strength, the joy. And sometimes we don't even know how to enjoy the grace of God. We don't even know how to enjoy the mercy of God. We don't even know how to joy in the Lord. It seems that we are just in big trouble. Our life. Look at verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto evil works. Is that what it says? Unto all good works. So do we do good works? And I still find people in our fellowship very selfish. No discipline. But after all, it's your life. I can't tell you what to do. I can only tell you what the Bible says. Encourage you to follow what the Word says. It is very hard to live the life of Christ. It's very hard, it seems, to many people. You know, we treat the church, coming to fellowship, to worship God, in a way that it's either a take it or leave it thing that we can do with it. You know. be like King David, who says, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. And when we say we mean it, we say we love the scripture, we love the Lord, let us do it fervently with all our hearts. Not having a half past six attitude. You know. I don't know, sometimes there's so much revelation we have of the truth of God's word in this fellowship that we take it for granted. Other brothers over other countries, they desire to know the truth. Males are sent to me asking me many questions because of what they read, what they heard in the video. You know. And the truth that God gives to us is something that sets us free. But it seems that if we are still in bondage to our carnal self. Numbers chapter 6. Numbers chapter 6. Verse 25 to 26. Numbers chapter 5, verse 25. Chapter 6, sorry. Verse 25 to 26. The Lord, verse 24, we read from there. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. This is the blessing that Moses pronounced upon the children of Israel. They have the law. They were not under grace, but yet grace was always given to them because there is grace in the law. And here today we don't live under the law. We are living in a dispensation of grace. And we are in the last of the church age. We are in the last of the few more years in the closing up of this whole dispensation. And yet, this verse, does it apply to us? Does it apply to you? Does the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you? Does the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace? Do you have that peace? Like the song we sing, there are two roads. We don't live by sight of what we see and feel. Don't let our passion run wild. You know. And oh, I know that the devil has been trying to tear this ministry of mine apart for many years. You know, the Bible talks about excommunication. The Bible talks about the purity of the body of Christ. Be holy as I'm holy, God said. Be perfect as I'm perfect. Paul said, we are not as we are already perfect, but we go on to perfection. But what attitude do you take when it comes to that? You cannot be perfect until you examine yourself and look into a brother or sister. Do not think that they are imperfect and you are perfect, and you will never make it. You see a brother or sister sin and you start condemning it, then you are the judge. You become God to judge. You know, this is what is happening. Over the years, brothers love, sisters love. Why? Is it because this church was not up to their standard? Just the one man, as I told you, I tried to reply to him, but there's so much problem that I have to handle. They only answer a paragraph and I have to save the file. He was asking so many questions. He don't agree with this church, we don't agree with that teaching. He asked me about my opinion. Are you like them? Are you like this? Then he wrote himself a sentence in the email. I'm looking for the perfect church and I don't think I will find it. I says, no, you will not find it. Show me a perfect church. If you can show me one. And I will tell you, it will have been gone. You will not be here. Because when the perfect is come, then you have to go. So who is the perfect? There's only one that is perfect. Only one that is good. Only one that is holy. We don't see ourselves many times, you know. I stand here every Sunday if I'm not overseas. And you look at me. There are certain things that I say you may not like it. I'm not perfect. If you like everything that I say, mine, you must have found a perfect pastor to your liking then. Do you know how the world denomination criticized Brother Branham? Do you know how Paul said about criticizing? Have you read this word? Oh yeah. Very critical. Then come up here and preach then if you are called to be a preacher. Throughout the years, different one fight fought with me. I said, if God had called you to preach, He would have called you. Then why don't you start a church? Corinthians has a problem. The church in Galatia had a problem. There's no perfect church. That's why God give us the love, grace, and mercy. That's for us to examine ourselves. Not for us to criticize others, to judge others. If we get a wrong advice from whatever source, sometimes a lot of time we need to gossip. When you gossip, say this about this person, that person. You know, we already passed judgment. We don't realize that the devil have us. You know. Isn't it so? Galatians 5:4. All these verses we read tonight are examples of things that Paul talks about in his ministry. And they are still ever so applicable to our life, to this hour that we live. Galatians 5:4. Christ is become of no effect unto you. Whoever of you are justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace. That's what happened to the Galatian church. It was a church founded by Paul. He taught them all about grace. You are saved by grace through faith. But there were some Jewish converted, some of them Pharisees converted to the faith. Their mind is not away from the law. You can take a person out from the world, take the world out from a person, it's going to be very hard. take a person out from denomination into the truth, it's very hard to take that denominational teaching out of him. And that's what happened over in Galatia. Some of these Pharisees would tell the Galatians, Gentile, you need to be circumcised, you need to do this according to the law, and so on and so forth. And so, of course, if it is so, then we have to keep the law. Very legalistic. You know, their brother and sister and the children will come to me and say, brother, how come this is not done, that is not done? You come to be legalistic about it. If I'm not doing the thing to their liking, they criticize. You know. Like a brother said, if I come to the church, if I don't like what I hear, if I don't like what I see, I walk out. Then if you can go to every church, he will walk in and he will walk out. The thing is that Brother Branham said, you find the best teacher you can find and you stay there. If I'm not the best teacher that you have got, then go somewhere else. Do you understand what I'm saying? Go out and find someone who has the best teacher, someone who can teach you the word and have the revelation. And can feed you, show you the truth. You know, Brother Bram had lots of revelation and he taught it. People criticize him this and that. You don't like him, go somewhere else. You know. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. Let us therefore come boldly. That's Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Yes. I don't know about you. You know, it's your life. You live the life. I don't live your life. I cannot live your life. Every one of us are responsible for our own life to, as the Bible says, we have to stand before God and give account of every word and action that we do. I say. And, well, you know, on the YouTube, there's some Bible teacher who put all kinds of teachings and prophecy on the internet. Some said we have discovered who the Antichrist is. And we can prove to you, fact number one, fact number two, this. It shows everything. And who is the Antichrist? Obama. Yes. And then there are those who say that this coming Rosh Hashanah, they are going to be the start of the tribulation. It is in the month of September, somewhere around there, when the Jews celebrate the Feast of Trumpet. That's when the tribulation will start. But we know we are near the end. And here, what do we do with our life? Romans 6, Jude 24. Now unto him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. Unto him who is able to keep you from falling.
How do we come to that place? We have to submit to Him. We have to submit to Him. We have to submit to His grace. We have to look to Him. Ephesians 1. Verse 9 to 14. Having made known unto us the mystery of His will according to His good pleasure which He had purposed in Himself, that in the dispensation of fullness of time He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven, which are on earth, even in Him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance. You know, I'm so glad that I have an inheritance. What is that inheritance? Or have you forgotten? What is Christ's inheritance in His saints? You have received it. And I have received it. What is that? The name. His name. Whereby we can be saved. Having obtained an inheritance, being predestined unto the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will, that we should be to the praise of His glory, who first trust in Christ. We should be to the praise of His glory. But our life is our life to the praise of His glory. Or our life is just a messed up life. Unforgiving life. Selfish life. Gossip. In whom also you trust, after that you heard the word of the truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believe, you were sealed with the Holy Ghost of promise. Sealed with the Holy Ghost of promise. Are you really sealed with the Holy Ghost of promise? If you are sealed with the Holy Ghost of promise, are we not supposed to manifest that? Which is the earnest of your inheritance unto the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory. Wherefore I also which I heard of your faith. Let me stop there. Christ inherited in the saints. God gave him a name above all names. And the name of Christ is in His own word. And the word of God is the spirit of life, which returned on the day of Pentecost. Which is the earnest inheritance you receive. When you receive that life, you receive the life of Christ. And you obtain that same name. That's why you are called Christian. We bear the name of Christ. So if you are sealed, what do we do with it? Romans chapter 6. Verse 1 to 13. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? If we are sealed, as Paul said in Ephesians, having obtained an inheritance, the spirit of life, the name of Christ, if we have that, then we are sealed in by the grace of God. Then what do you do with the grace? Do we make the grace a disgrace so that we continue to sin and get more grace? The life that God gives us to live, we have to live to the praise of His glory. That's very basic. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? You know, if we fall from grace, if we fell, if we fall in sin, we have an advocate. We can come to the throne of God and cry unto Him. And I said last week, when I recognize I'm weak, then He is strong. You cannot be strong by your own work. You only be strong when you recognize that you are weak. And you need His grace to see you through. You need His grace so that you don't need to struggle. But sometimes to many of us, life seems to be a struggle. God forbid, how shall we that we are dead to sin live any longer daring? Can we continue in sin? Know you not that many of us as were baptized into Christ were baptized into His death. Therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was risen up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should also walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall be also in the likeness of His resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, and henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is free from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with Him. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, died no more. Death had no more dominion over Him. For in that he died unto sin once. But in that he lived, lived unto God. If we die in baptism with Christ, we only can die once. When we get up of the water, what do? The Bible here says we live unto God. Just as Christ could only die once, and then after that he lived unto God. If we die to self, we die in baptism, we live unto God. I believe many of us know all these basic things. And Paul said, I am a prisoner of Christ. Prisoner have no right. Is that right? Is that not true? And yet sometimes we want our own life. Judge not lest you be judged. Yet we know the scripture, yet many times we seem to forget. Why do we let the five senses, kind of sense, in this body bring us to the place where we, the devil just work up our mind to sin against the Lord, to think of this, to gossip, to presume, to have this and that and whatever. You know, it's so hard. Let us continue with that. Likewise, reckon you also yourself to be dead indeed unto sin, but the life unto God through Christ Jesus our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey in the lust thereof. Neither you, your members, as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but you yourself unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your member are instruments of righteousness unto God. You see, the simple fact. You know, you, your member as instruments of righteousness unto, not of unrighteousness unto sin, but and you yourself unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. We are living in the dispensation of grace. And in the book of Isaiah, chapter 55, just see what Isaiah 55, the first verse, what it says. Ho! Everyone that thirsts, come into the waters. And if they have no money, come you buy and drink and eat. Come buy wine and milk without honey and without price. Oh. Have you ever gone to a department store and the door that says, come, buy, eat, drink, everything's free? You don't. Things that are physical out in the world, you have to pay a price for it. And it satisfies only the body. But the water, the wine, the bread, the body of Christ, the food, they're all that God provided. You can buy without money. But that's the problem. It's free. And because it's free, we take it for granted. Do you know what I'm talking about? You see, if somebody gives you a laptop free, you won't treasure it as much as you pay with your price, with the money, with your own money. Isn't it true? Things that you work hard for, you pay for it with your money, you treasure. But things that seem to be free, you know, it's a different thing altogether. And many of us take salvation for granted. It's free. But he's forgotten. The price has been paid. That's why it's free. There's no such thing as buy one, get one free. In all the department store, you can see buy one, get one free. You think that one free is really free? It's not. Someone paid for it, or either you already, the price is already included there. Or someone paid for it, a company paid for it to give you free. Nothing is free in this world. Not even the air that you breathe. Huh? Someone paid for it. You don't know what's going on to get air. Do you know that the plant generates oxygen for you? And now there are so much deforestation. What's happening to this earth? Oxygen is deprived. Then people are like, in certain countries like in Japan, it's not a place they have to go to a shop that sells oxygen. Do you know that you have to pay to just to breathe oxygen? Yes. So remember, a price has been paid. It's a dispensation of grace that we live in. In the parable in the book of Matthew chapter 20, we don't have to look into it, but you want to turn to it. You know how the Jesus can talk about the parable. That a husbandman has a great vineyard, and time for harvest, he went up early in the morning. And saw a man up there says, you want to work in my field? I pay you 1 denarius. For the day, from morning to the sunset. They say, agree with it, and they go and start harvesting. And about 3 hours later or so, it's not complete yet. He went out to the marketplace again. He saw people hanging around there. I asked them to work. He said, I'll give you 1 denarius. They went and work. 6 hours he went, the same thing happened, still not finished. And then when the 9th hour, still not finished, he called those who want to come and work and still get 1 denarius. At the end of the day, when he paid the wages to all the workers, the one who worked from morning to the evening, they grumbled. Because they said, we worked the whole day. And where this one who worked from the 9th hour, he only worked about 3 hours and he got the same pay. That's not fair. What's not fair? Is it not fair?
You agreed to it, to work for one denarius. I didn't cheat you. And people grumble about grace. Oh, God, give the person more grace than I have. How do you look at grace that that person has more grace than you have? God has a bag full of grace. If you want it, you ask for it. When you ask for it, you live it. Because when you dig the grace of this grace, you're answerable for it. Don't you realize that? The grace of God, the mercy of God is for you to carry you through when you need it. But many times, either we make grace of this grace, or we just mess up with our self-life, mess ourselves up, and then sometimes we don't even bother about looking to God for grace. You know. I wonder how many of us ever, really examine ourselves about our own life, how we live it. No, we are not perfect. Even as I preach this message about grace and mercy, I'm not just preaching to you. I'm preaching to myself. Any time when I couldn't sleep, I preached to myself. Because I'm examining my life. I want to do what God wants me to do, what God demands of me to do. And it's not an easy thing. Peter made mistake. Paul made mistake. Oh, Paul didn't make mistake, really? You ever seen the paper where read the Bible where Paul made mistakes? Have you ever known that Paul made mistake? Oh, Christ is coming soon, you know, don't get married. But they don't say, oh no, you know, there must be a first a falling away, right? Well, you say that's not mistake. Well, okay, you can say it's not mistake. That's his opinion. When your opinion is wrong, it's wrong. It's a mistake. Alright? God is just showing how Paul thinks. And God wanted Paul to write it down. To realize he thinks, oh, Christ is coming. Oh, young man, don't get married and be like me. Time is short. Right? You see. What about Peter? When he prayed a hypocrisy. God wanted to show it in the Bible. They make the mistake. Was playing the hypocrisy. And we need to examine ourselves about being a hypocrite. Before we judge anybody about being a hypocrite, we better examine ourselves whether we are hypocrite. You know, there's so much trouble in the past. You know, people. I find it very hard to understand how brother and sister couldn't even come to look at himself. Do you know something? I work in a mental hospital. Different cases, schizophrenia, obsessive compulsive patient, paranoia, all kinds. But when you tell someone who is paranoid, he doesn't believe he's paranoid. Because he's paranoid, he doesn't believe he's paranoid. And that's the problem. It's one of the terrible things that's working up here. But when paranoid
takes a hold of a person, when he becomes compulsive, he just gets himself into very big trouble. You know, God has given some of my free. And all we have to do is to look at the Word. You understand what I'm saying? When before I was in prison, when I was a kid, I like to rough talk. You know, fight for fight, things like that. Selfish, all that thing. But when the Word became real to me and born again, the whole thing changed because my mind had to be changed. The Paul said, be transformed. Be not conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So how do you do that? It's by the Word. Look unto Jesus. Look to Him. That's why over the years, oh brothers, if I tell some brother they don't seem to get the point, time and time again, I have to do only one thing. Behave like him in front of him. And see how he feels. See when he wakes up. And that's what I do. And when I did that, brothers get angry. You know. He said, that's the only way to wake you up. Yep, you don't even see it. That I'm trying to show you that, because he just can't, because he's dead set in his own way. Yeah. It's sad, you know. We are blind to our own fault. And we fought others time and time again. Isaiah chapter 30. Verse 15 to 18. Oh, for thou said the Lord God, the Holy One, Isaiah chapter 30, 15 to 18, right? For thou said the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest shall ye be safe. In quietness and in confidence shall be your strength. But you would not. But you said no, for we will flee upon horses, therefore shall you flee. And we will ride upon the sheep, therefore shall they that pursue you will be swift. 1,000 shall flee at the rebuke of one, at the rebuke of five shall you flee. Till you be like as a beacon upon the top of a mountain, as an ensign on a hill. And therefore will the Lord wait, that he may be gracious unto you, and therefore be exalted, that he may have mercy upon you. For the Lord is the God of judgment. Blessed are they that wait for him. Yeah, a lot of people don't turn to God for help. And he says, oh no, we will not flee. But they all have their own idea. Just run wherever they want to run. When the truth, when something is said to help you, instead of waiting upon the Lord, you start running around doing what you think is right. And you end up in a mess. Ezekiel 20. Ezekiel chapter 20, verse 39 to 44. As for you, O house of Israel, said the Lord God, go you serve ye everyone his idol in the land. And hereafter also it will not hearken unto, and if you will not hearken unto me, But pollute ye my holy name no more with your gifts and with your idols. For ye my holy mountains and the mountain at the height of Israel, said the Lord God, there shall be all the house of Israel, all of them in the land serve me. There will I accept them, and there will I require your offering, and the first fruit of your oblation with all your holy things. I will accept you with your sweet savour when I bring you out from the people and gather you out of the country wherein you have been scattered, and I will be sanctified in you before the heathen. And you shall know that I am the Lord when I shall bring you into the land of Israel, into the country for which I lift up my hand to give it to your fathers. And there shall you remember your ways and all your doings wherein you have been defiled. And you shall loathe yourself in your own sight for all your evils that you have committed. And you shall know that I am the Lord when I have wrath with you for my name's sake, not according to your wicked ways, not according to your corrupt ways, O you house of Israel, said the Lord God. Israel were told to be aware of God's way. Israel have all gone their own way. Sheep's cattle. But God promised to give them grace that they may see His way. And many of us, many times, are scattered. We are messed up. We go like Israel, doing what we think is right. But when God shows you His way, you know it is God's mercy. In the Bible, there are many examples of those that fell from grace. We have in the book of Esther, Queen Vashti was disobedient, fell from grace, and Esther was put in her place. And because of that, it was God's grace to Israel that saved them. Then we have Lot. Well, you know Lot went with Abraham, but got himself to trouble looking at the plain of Jordan out there in the direction of the light of the city, of Hollywood, so to speak, Sodom and Gomorrah. Went over to that place and got himself into trouble for the Lord. But God's grace and mercy, the two angels went and rescued them out. And all we have example, many cases. But what about Judas Iscariot? He too fell from grace, but he never recovered. And I pray if any one of us fell from grace, don't be too proud to confess your sin and return unto the Lord. Some brother have left our fellowship, some sister have left our fellowship over the years. Wow. Pride of life. People are caught up with the pride of life, or the lust of the flesh, or the lust of the eye. And that's what Lot was doing. The lust of the eye. Beautiful city. Green plain out there, it must be good. Choosing the direction of Sodom and Gomorrah, knowing that that city is wicked. Those cities are wicked. But he never thought about the danger. He tried where angels fear to do it. It's not wise. Call him in. Yet in all that, God saved him. And here we are today. As I said this before, God's servant, they are God's grace to you. Brother Abraham was God's grace to us. Every true servant of God that are sent to you, they are God's grace to you. Is that not true? And the Bible warned in many places in the scripture, in the book of Luke 10:16, in the book of Matthew or Mark 6:11, receive. He that receives a prophet receives a prophet's reward. It's God's grace to you. If you reject a true servant, you reject grace. And people will continue in their own way. God sent a prophet and they never don't heed the message. They rejected him. And they go on in a denomination way. And what are denominations doing today? They all bundled up together under the ecumenical movement and accepting of the image until the first peace. We are now in the end time, yeah. Great to be in the end time. Malachi 4, 5 and 6 was God's grace to the bride. And I can say this one thing. You cannot have grace without the word of God. There is no grace without the word. When the children of Israel were in Babylon as captive, as slaves, there was no true altar, there was no bloodshed, there was no grace, because why? They don't have the temple. Because there was no altar. There were no sacrifice offered to God. They were there as prisoners. They were there as captive of Babylon. Until Babylon fell to the Greek, to the Persian Empire. Then it was under King Cyrus that God gave them the grace to return back to the land of Israel, to rebuild the city and build the temple. When we reject God's way is truth and life, that we are in trouble. God's word is above the law. The law came by Moses, but grace came by Jesus Christ. Law is legalism. And that's the reason why in the church of God, we don't want to have the law. We don't want to be legalistic. We want to be realistic about things in life. Huh? Isn't that true? Be realistic. But if we are realistic, it simply means this, that we need to know who we are. Yes. There's no way when we come for feet washing, we are to serve a brother or a sister. Some who humble himself to wash your feet. Right? Jesus Christ, you know, when he came to Peter and washed his feet, he says, "Don't wash my feet." But don't wash your feet means you're saying that you don't want to be a part of me. Right? When Peter heard it, "Oh, wash my head also." We wash because we accept. I wash you because I accept you as my brother. If I refuse you to wash my feet, I refuse you. I don't accept you. That's basic. And I told you, I've learned my lesson. When I went overseas, as I said, to the Philippines when I preached, those four sisters, elderly sisters, they were so blessed by the word that they came up to me and put a little offering in my hand and hold it and then put the 50 peso in my hand. 50 peso is $1.50 or so, like that. And I was thinking that they need more than I do. And the first thing I said, "Sister, I don't need it. You need it more." "No, no, 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 no." And I don't understand until I was told. I can't remember who told me. He said, "Brother, please accept that because it's their blessing." Then I realized that no matter how small a gift, no matter what it is, whoever give it, even if a beggar heard the word of God and came up to me and took a few cents from his little bowl that somebody donated to him, I have to take it. Never refuse. I learned my lesson. When a brother told me that, "Oh my," I said, "Oh yeah, I didn't realize that." It's no matter that a poor cannot give it to me. Only the rich could give it to me as an offering. You know, because the rich has a lot of money, he can afford to give it an offering. The poor, I find it all, you know, he need it. Yeah, I know he need it, but he was a blessing for him to hear the word and a blessing for him to give it to me, the little amount.
And even think about what, you know what Jesus said about when he went to the temple, he told the disciples, you see that the poor man, the poor lady, will keep all, you know, few mites in the offering box. And here we have the religious guy with a whole lot of denarius and shekel putting in the box alone. And I don't. People say, you know, oh, I give a lot to the Lord. And this lady, two mites just put it. And Jesus did not go up to the lady and say, you don't have to give it. You need that too more than I do. We learn every day. We don't want a church tradition. End time message is full of legalism. There are many that told me, but again, you don't follow church order. I said, I don't. We have order in the church, then we just do what the Lord wants us to do. Oh, no, you cannot do that. God sent a prophet to correct order in the church, and he said church order. Kind of odd, huh? You see, that's very legalistic. It doesn't allow the Holy Spirit to move and deal with lives. We all have liberty. 2 Corinthians 3:17. 2 Corinthians 3:17. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. There is liberty. Oh yeah, that means that you can do anything you want, whatever you want. You know? Galatians 2, verse 4. And that because of false brethren, unaware brought in, who came in privately to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage. Well, you know, I can only do so much as a preacher. I remember that the UPC guy who attacked me on the website, on his website, was like making Brother Brand. You see, his daughters, look at how they, how what happened to their hair? They cut off their hair. How can a man of God like Brother Brand allow the daughter to cut their hair? You see, that man was from a UPC and he was so legalistic. But about preaching, does he come out here with a cane and knock you on the head because you have short hair? Knock you on the head because your sister wears jeans and blue trousers? Or your brother have long hair, knock you on the head with it? No. But about preaching, he preaching, and his daughter, as teenager, wander around with cut hair. What does he do to them? You mean he beat them to death? Like what some fanatic Muslim people do? What you hear in India, what you hear in some country? Huh? No? They have their own maturity. They grow in maturity to understand. You don't force the doctrine or law on a person. You understand that? Like in country in America, if a woman came into the church and she wore a miniskirt, you know what they did to what they do to him, to them? They have a piece of cloth. Say, please cover your feet. I mean your knees. Because he's exposed. So what about a woman with short hair? Some of them were not allowed to come in. Perhaps they may have to tie a scarf. I don't know. The one about covering the knees, yes, That was, I heard it in Colorado.
Yeah.
Some of us wondering, how do you expect sinners to know the gospel? When they are sinners, they come in miniskirt, or they come in wearing trousers, or they coming in like hippies. You tell them not to come in. How are they going to know the gospel? How are they going to know the truth? Legalism. That's what it is. Verse 5. Galatians 2 verse 5. To whom we give place by subjection. No, not 1 hour. That the truth of the gospel might continue with you. We don't give in to all this truth. To all this fanaticism. Chapter 5 verse 1. Steadfast therefore in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Verse 13. For brethren, you have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an allocation to the flesh, for by love serve one another. James 1:25. But whosoever look into the perfect law of liberty and continue therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. If any man among you seem to be religious and bladder not his tongue, he deceive his own heart. This man's religion is vain. Romans 7. This is clear enough. Let's go to Romans 7. And we have verse 22. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. I told you this before, that there is grace in the law. And there is also law in grace. Yeah? What did God give the children of Israel? Law. Is to keep them in the way until the grace come, until the Messiah come. Right? Also the same thing. As we have law in the grace, grace is also in the law. And here we see the Romans chapter 7 verse 22. Let's read it again. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. Why? Because as a grace is given that to us to see life, to see Christ, to see the Word. Then when we look at the law of God, the Word of God is the law. We look at it with the inward man. This because our inward man is given the life. When we look into grace, into the Word of God, we can see grace inside it. Go to another verse. Romans 8, 1 to 2. Therefore, there is now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus have made me free from the law of sin and death. Grace in the law. Law in grace too. I receive grace, but I rejoice in the law of the Word of God, in the Spirit of the law of life. The Word of God is both law and grace. Every time you read it, it tells about your condition. Every time you read it, you can see Christ helping your condition. Is that alright? Yes. In closing, we know what grace is. Something that we don't deserve. Given to us by someone who's superior. Grace is God's love project. And when love is project, grace takes over. Grace is God's word made manifest. And that's the one may give us this life. We should manifest that. We should be gracious to others as God is gracious to us. Never esteem ourselves higher than others. Always look at ourselves and humble ourselves. You know, a ministry is not a one-man job. You understand what I'm saying? A ministry is not a one-man job. When God gave me this ministry, it's not me alone. There can be no ministry without the body. Is that not true? So it's not my ministry alone here. This is the body of Christ here. If you are called to do something, do it with joy for the Lord. And if you need man's praise, it's worthless. You don't need man's praise. You need the praise of God. You need the glory of God in your life. You need God's blessing, not the blessing of man. When I went to India, some of this country like this, when you know that you are pastor, that they call you priest, right? So give me a blessing. Because the Holy Man gives them blessing there. And, you know, we don't need the blessing of man. We don't need man to say, oh, how good you are. We want God to tell us how we have been, how good we are in following His word. We don't need the praise of man, but the praise of God. Well, grace gives us blood covenant. And we know that law points to the blood that is to come. The law points to blood made possible by grace. Salvation by grace through faith in the blood of Jesus Christ. James 1. Grace brings forth life in the blood. Because without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. Without the shedding of blood, there cannot be life given. The blood of cows and bulls and goats and sheep cannot bring life to you. Only the blood of the Lamb of God could give you that life. And that's grace. So grace produces a real life, reality. James chapter 1. And here we close with this verse. Time is fast catching up. James chapter 1, verse 19 to 26. Wherefore, my brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man work not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all bitterness and frailty of naughtiness, and receive in meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. And be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own self. But if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he behold himself and go his way and straightway forget what manner of man he is or he was. But whosoever look into the perfect law of the liberty of, and continue therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the word, this man shall be blessed in his deed. If any man among you seem to be religious and brother not his tongue, he deceive his own heart. This man's religion is vain. So I pray that you understand the reality of this. Why we are here tonight to partake of the communion. We don't wash one another's feet. We're here to partake of the bread and the cup. Let us do it with all sincerity. And I don't have to read the passage where Paul mentioned in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 11, how that we should not eat this bread and drink this cup without discerning the body of Christ. When you discern the body of Christ, you're discerning yourself as being a part of the body, that you're not above anyone, that you are not perfect in all ways, that you are not always right, that you don't always think others are wrong and you are right. That's the thing that we need to understand, to remember. Or else when we don't discern it right, we eat our own condemnation. Amen? And the Lord bless this word, let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your grace, O Lord, for this word. We thank you for life. Life in Christ Jesus. We ask you, O Father, Lord, to be merciful to us, O Father. To give us grace. Ask for your blessing, O Lord. Tonight, for all the word that we have received from you. Even as it goes, O Father, bless all that hear. For we are living in an hour, Lord, where the sins of the world are filling up this whole earth. Everywhere in every nation. When sins abound, Father, what would a Christian do? What would your people do, Lord? They would only and could only run to you and ask for grace. Grace, more grace from you, Father. And we know, Lord, you are full of grace. And we know that where sins abound, your grace will do much more abundantly in our life, the life of your people. So, Father, be gracious to us, Lord. In Jesus' name.